Well, welcome everyone. Glad that you are here. We'll start with some introductions. If you'll tell us your name and where you're from, and if you were part of the earlier session, tell us something that has sort of stuck with you or bumped you or stayed in your mind, something that's been working its way on you since that session. If this is your first time, tell us why this topic is intriguing to you, this idea of reforming worship or playing with worship, sort of calling from the roots of our worship and innovating into new ways. So, we can go around the room. I made Tom start last time. My husband, I made him start last time. And we'll start on this side today.
Missoula, Montana. Good to see you, Paul. I came to your first session, and our church service is generally traditional, although we don't do as much liturgy as we used to. And then every once a month we do a non-traditional service that has more contemporary music and a little bit less structure, but still sort of the basic pieces are all still there, that worship. and it's always interesting to me when I've been there for 40 years because I came as when her age, just out of college. Early on in those first early 80s, we did some non-traditional stuff that many people don't remember. Then we got a little bit more traditional. Then we went back to some more non-traditional. And it's just interesting to me to see people's reaction on either side of it, you know, and then the reasons people want to feel like they need to cling to the traditional, and some of their lack of openness to non-traditional, and then remembering how, you know, for people who are not used to going to any kind of church service, how foreign that is, and how maybe unwelcoming that is, unless they're willing to be open to that, and to be reforming worship. You know, how do we make it more relevant? All three of my kids, most of their friends, don't participate in church. Montana is not like Iowa, where I grew up, where everybody went to church, so to speak. And so, you know, what is it that will speak to younger generations in particular? And that's, you know, why I'm kind of interested in coming. In talking about the living room idea, just, you know, thinking about that and transferring it to our church, is that meant for mostly smaller groups? It's hard to imagine that. We have an old classic sanctuary. You know, I know they have done some talking about getting rid of some pews, restructuring of chairs, those kind of things. But how does that, those kind of changes, how might that apply to us?
Right.
And to what end, kind of thing. So, anyway.
Well, and we'll see. So we're doing the living room for the entire village tonight. And so it is designed as sort of a more intimate 40 to 60, that's the size of our group.
Uh-huh.
So tonight we'll see how it works with 220.
Yeah, right, right. And I'm curious.
So
to
hopefully
see that
always
well.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
And I did not come to the first session. One of the reasons I wanted to come is I'm more of a, after having been in the church I'm in for 30, 40 years, is now we've seen the older people that I knew as probably my age when I first started, now they have passed on, and now I'm in their position. And we've got some new younger families, but I'd say I'm more concerned about, even though worship itself is only a small part of trying to get new members, but what can we do in worship that will bring in new members specifically? We've had a lot of discussion about millennials.
From up and with the Missoula crew. And I think something that has kind of drawn me into this class, but something I've also kind of been grappling with, is what you mentioned in the last session, is being one of those Lutherans that easily has one foot in the door and one foot out. Mm-hmm. And so kind of trying to figure out how I like to worship and how that feels the most comfortable and welcoming to me. So,
great, thanks.
And I fell in love with worship mostly the year that I lived here, and you got to do it every day. And there was creativity and variety. Went to seminary, learned the rules, have served in congregations where it continually smacks me in the face how much I went to school and got educated in this, and I don't get to really influence things because their traditions are so entrenched that they don't want to play the way I want to play. And so after 15 years of that, I just need a refresher in loving worship.
Sure. Great.
Okay. I'm a traditionalist. I'm going to lay it right up.
That's your name.
No bones. I'm a true traditionalist, so I'm interested in content and not entertainment. And when the screen drops down, that's where I go out just before it starts to get my popcorn or beer out of the refrigerator, and you have words on a screen with no notes, and I just shut down.
Sure.
Because I've experienced not well. And so when it's done halfway, but it, for me it goes into the entertainment. I'm there to entertain. The minute I walk out the door, I forget the 7-Eleven songs. They aren't truly relevant to me in the real world that we live in today. And I struggle with it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Great. I appreciate that.
Lots of questions and comments as I listen to the other participants running through my head. I'm always looking for how people are creatively worshiping, and I'm most interested in how do you build those elements into a traditional Lutheran worship service.
That you don't know what's happening to you. That's so, the difference.
Without offending. I'm also aware, I've listened to people representing some of those non-traditional contemporary styles like the living room, and I ask a very practical question, and that is, how are they financially viable? Somebody else is paying for that to happen, which means that can't work in my town or the other small towns of the United States, unless some of those elements can be translated into ways that do speak to Craig and the other traditional Lutherans.
Yeah, that's part of the challenge, that tension, right?
Yep, the traditional people are paying for the program.
They're paying for that church.
Yeah. Well, and I will say, our campus ministry, we are 100% fundraised. We don't receive much funding, and so it is the traditional folks paying for innovative worship for young adults,
right,
which is interesting.
Right.
So it's interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you repeat the instructions?
Sure, yeah. So tell us who you are, where you're from. If you were here for an earlier session, tell us what sort of stayed with you or bugging you or sitting in your head. If it's your first time, then tell us why you're sort of drawn to this topic. Or tell us both.
Okay. Waterloo, Iowa, right now. And I brought church musicians from the church that I work at. I'm still a Lutheran. I'm a rostered Lutheran. It's true, but I've worked for a lot of
different... You haven't converted him yet?
We're changing it.
It's never going to happen. I've worked for a lot of different denominations of worship style, and seen a lot of worship styles in that, like the Methodist. I'm in a UCC congregational church right now, and I've worked for old Lutherans, and new Lutherans, and I've experienced, Episcopal worship, I've experienced Pentecostal worship, and Latin Mass, and I was not here for the first session, I'm sorry, but I'm drawn to this topic because a lot of my job is being a part of worship, if not, at least for people like me, some of the more powerful, or just one of the languages that is spoken in every worship, in music. And I'm really interested in the difference between, and I'm a millennial, so I can talk about authenticity.
Right?
So the difference between, like the line between worship and coercion into feelings.
Yeah.
which is seen in all denominations.
Sure.
Right. So that's what we're about, the how do we make ourselves shiny enough to bring in the young people? I think it's all about authenticity.
College Station, Texas. I'm married to Mindy. And one of the things that kind of struck me about the living room experience from the earlier session was the kind of community nature of it, in terms of we were facing each other, we were hearing from one another, and so it wasn't as though, I mean, there's the community nature of kind of a traditional worship service, and that you're kind of speaking together, speaking with one voice, and kind of going through the creeds and going through prayers. But this was kind of community and group experience in maybe a different way that I appreciated and kind of was able to connect with people, hear from people in a different way than I would have in just a kind of following the steps in the hymnal. So,
and Tom was born in the first week of 1981, which makes him a millennial.
Yeah.
I was born in the last week of 1980, which makes me not a millennial. We're 2 weeks apart, a massive, massive generation.
A different time zone completely.
So I'll swing back around and we'll pick up you two, and then we'll see.
Mindy, Tom's
going to
Metro Center, he'll be here down at
11. Great, wonderful.
Small community within the Omaha metropolitan area called Ralston. And I belong to United Methodist Church there. I was raised in a congregational church in Minneapolis. My grandpa was a UP minister. And I've been UP and Methodist and congregational. So a bit of a background. I've been involved in the music in church since I was 3. And for me, it's hard to go to church and not sing. So that's an important part of my worship experience. I'm very concerned right now, as all of us are, in that our old traditional churches are getting very gray, and how do we get others to come in and understand the relevance of what we're trying to teach, and realizing that there's more, everybody has different ways of learning, and you have different ways of piquing that interest. I disagree with you, Craig, a little bit about I'm not tied to the traditional. And I'm not turned on when it's a big production. That doesn't done. And I've gone to churches where that's, and it's beautiful and the music's wonderful. But I don't get anything out of it. My church is a small church, and we're a family. And even though we have a traditional building and we're inside this, our service is very interactive. And the one thing that we do hear from people is that that's a comment that they make about our church when they come, is that it's so friendly and they feel comfortable and they feel like they're welcome and they feel like they can be a part of it. But we have to do something to get the younger folks involved. And it would be nice if we got them involved before they had children and they needed to have them confirmed. So, but I enjoy the new music. I enjoy singing it. I enjoy listening to it. It doesn't mean I don't want to do traditional stuff. And every now and then we will bring in that piece. The churches that have the two separate services, I'm not real thrilled about. Because then you've got two separate congregations within the same church.
And that's where I'm coming from, the tradition, because it's a split. They go in one door,
yeah.
You go in the other door.
And
don't meet in the hall.
And I don't, and especially from a small church perspective, I don't want to do that. I want everybody to be together.
And we don't do that. We have two separate services, but I mean two different services, but three Sundays a month are a more traditional or blended worship, and then the third Sunday is the non-traditional. And most people go to all of them. I mean, the ones that are regular would go. So it doesn't split it quite in a way as it could, you know, early and a late service division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we thought about that when we were there.
With the newer service, mostly the difference is the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about the difference between form, music, and liturgy. If you remember, if you're part of the living room, there was nothing that wasn't liturgical about that service, right? But it was a different setting, and it was a different a different type of intimacy, right? And so we'll spend some time, we can if you guys want, but this workshop is less about sort of traditional versus contemporary, and more about all of the things that make worship, and using a different type of setting and a different type of space and different configurations to make it meaningful for folks who worship in a different way. So let's continue with introductions. What have you
got? Some pretty good representation. I like a mix. We've done a really good job, I think, of mixing up music, and at least from the choir perspective, and we mix up the music. Joking about that, our minister does not give a hoot about what it takes to walk down the aisle in 2-3 music with all new words when we come walking for the intro.
And it doesn't march well.
So that's our, what new song are we doing to come in on today? So I like switching up the music. I love the traditional hymns too. I get tired when we don't hit on some of those once in a while. But concern is we've got a lot of little ones that come into church, and then we have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we've got some younger folks coming in, but there's not enough of them to be building, to keep a building going, and we've got a lot of people that have been there for years and years and years. And when I started, I moved into the church because of a bit, or the congregational church I'm in now, moved into it with, I got married. My husband's family had been apart. And we'd had a 3-generation shock with our grandbaby.
Mm-hmm.
We missed Grandpa by being able to get him in to make it a 4-generational shot by a couple months. I forgot where I was going to go with that. Oh, I'm sorry. I just retired. My brain it's in relax mode.
She's in the fireworks.
We'll come back for some conversation.
That isn't the reason.
Trust me. But it's a good excuse today.
Mount Prospect, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago. And I'm a pastor, and so I'm really just interested in thinking about worship, because that's part of the work that I do, and I'm always looking for creativity to just spur me in new directions.
I don't know what your instructions
were. Name, where you're from, and if you were part of the earlier workshop, what has sort of stuck with you, or why you are drawn to this workshop.
And I am from Quincy, Washington, and I'm a retired from Ephrata, Washington, in two churches, the ELCA and then across the tracks was the Missouri Synod. So I did both churches, and I do once a month still, so I have to practice. But I was at the first workshop, and I liked the living room idea and that way, because as a lot of churches are, we've shrunk. We have this huge church plant and 20 people in church, and most of them older than me, and I know that we need to do something a little different in the way we not only greet new people that walk through the door, but also
in the service itself. I myself, being Lutheran all my life, am nodding off in church. So if I'm nodding off in church, other people are probably nodding off in church. But I can't even get them to let us get a license, a copyright license. Sunday seasons is all we need. We pay for that. That's it.
Well, thank you. So I'll offer a disclaimer. I won't offer you anything that will be sort of the magic formula. What I can offer is something that works in our context and how we think about our context. And I was telling the group Tuesday that I work with an interesting mix of young adults. About half of them are cradle Lutherans, but they are Lutherans with one foot out the door, right? And so they sort of tolerate, many of them tolerate the Sunday experience because they're really drawn to Lutheran approaches to justice, or they're really intrigued by how Lutherans read the Bible, or they love the Lutheran approach to service. So all of these things that are really distinctive about being Lutheran, they love it, and that's why they have one foot in the door. But the experience of worship is a real challenge for them. So this is part of why we do a lot of innovation, because if we don't, they don't come back. The other half of our group is this really fun mix of former evangelical, former Catholic, students that grew up with no religion in their home whatsoever. And so this is their rebellion, is the rebellion against their irreligious upbringing is, I'm going to try out faith, right? And so, as you can imagine, this is a really interesting mix. So for those who used to be evangelical, they're used to a certain type of worship, an emotional type of worship, but they are also drawn to the theological approach of Lutheran. That's why they're becoming Lutheran, is because they love how we study Scripture, and they love our approach to justice in the world. And our Catholics as well, we have, particularly for students who are LGBTQ, we are one of just two campus ministries on a campus of 60,000 that is sort of open and affirming. And so for students that come from harder traditions that aren't open and affirming, they find a really safe space to land. Right. Okay. So now you have this really interesting mix, right, and then we do have a couple students who are in the front row on Sunday morning and will always be on the front row because they love traditional liturgy, right? So we have all these folks mixed together, and we know that we get one shot, right? They come in the door, we get one shot to offer something that is authentic, meaningful, deep, speaks to God in their life, and builds community. And if we miss it, then they walk. And on a campus as large as ours, they've got a million other places to try, right? So we innovate. We have six forms of worship that we move between. All of them feel like worship, right? They take all the elements of what we do, but we put them in a different sort of context, right? And we do this for two reasons. One is that these worship services stand on their own. We include Eucharist in all of them, and as expressions of worship, they are Lutheran. They fit what it means to be a Lutheran, but they speak to a different need, right? A need for intimacy, right? Which is what young adults say. We need intimacy in our life, right? I don't have to be intimate on Facebook. I don't have to be intimate anywhere else. I don't have to be vulnerable anywhere else. But I need a space that's going to ask me to be vulnerable. So our worships ask people to be vulnerable. The other way we do these is we recognize that sometimes a different form of worship will help people enter a Sunday differently. And so a lot of our young adults, they've grown up in worship, they've done worship their entire life, the Lutheran half, but they haven't been taught how to worship, right? And so, oh, we're doing the confession again, love, oh, it's time for the peace, hey, how you doing, right? There's no sort of meaningful teaching about why is this meaningful? So we also do these other forms of worship to say, let's engage them differently, so that if you choose to become a Sunday morning Lutheran in a traditional congregation, you can engage this really, really in a different way, right? So we hold those together. We say these stand on their own as forms of worship that speak to a need of young adults. But also, if these young adults want to move into a, if they're going to move to a small town, and this is their one option, now they can enter this more intentionally, right? So again, it's not an argument between traditional and contemporary forms. This is the important things of worship, and how we offer it is what is significant for young adults. So I'm going to have us do an exercise, and I can already tell this is going to be fun and controversial. I love it. Okay. So what I want us to do is I want you to walk me through a worship service. I know we have multiple forms in the room. We have UCC, we have Methodist, we have Lutheran. But we go to a UCC worship service because we like it pretty regularly. And there's so much that is the same, even if it's in different parts, right? And so, like, UCC does their confession, right, like, middle Is that right?
It depends on the church.
It depends on the church. So when we go to, we're like, why is this in the middle? Like, that's, because we're pretty wavy. Okay. So if you are to walk into a worship service, and we'll do, and like I said, I know these are going to be different, but walk me through what's going to happen in a service. What's, generally, what's going to happen if you're in a, more Lutheran space? What's the first thing that happens?
Call to worship.
Call to worship.
Don't forget the prayer.
Oh, yes. I won't forget the prelude.
I was going to say prelude, yeah.
Okay, what comes next?
We have at least two things above that.
Okay,
we have music and chatter.
Yeah.
And chatter.
Chatter.
And talk with your
people. Okay, yeah, okay.
And then we have announcements.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. We'll start.
Okay.
We'll start with chit chat. Announcements. Okay, then what?
Prelude. Call to worship.
Call to worship. Then what?
Confession, forgiveness.
Confession
or Thanksgiving for baptism.
Or Thanksgiving for baptism. Then what?
The opening hymn.
Yeah. So then we'll do an opening hymn. And we won't hit all the liturgical, my brother calls it, all that liturgical speaking back and forth. We won't hit every piece of it, but generally,
yeah.
What comes after the hymn?
Greeting.
Prayer.
Greeting and prayer. Okay, then what?
Another
music.
Kyrie, hymn of praise.
Yeah, so then we do like Kyrie, hymn of praise. Okay.
Reading first and second lesson.
Yeah, so then we come to our readings.
Don't forget the song.
With the song, so we do Old Testament. Psalm, generally, right, not every week, but New Testament,
gospel.
And then gospel.
Children,
okay, what's next?
Children's hour.
Oh, yeah, children's sermon. Yeah. Okay.
Or choir practice, or a choir.
In between.
In between.
Sometimes. That's truly the anthem.
Anthem.
Old Testament and New
Testament. That's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's the only place, too.
That
to leave you.
That's so funny. That is not where it is in the church.
I'm
okay.
Not.
So then we come to.
Yeah, no.
Sermon.
Sermon after sermon.
First day.
What's that?
Be
yeah, we usually have a
creed.
Hymn of the day.
Oh,
hymn
of
the day. This is the communion.
Okay.
Hymn of the day, then what?
Creed,
prayers,
offering.
Offering.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Oh, peace is before offering. Well,
this is going to be really unfair. I'm going to say Eucharist, even though it's got lots of parts.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
But I'm out of space.
Uh-huh.
And then we're just going to skip straight to the blessing because we're really out of space.
Out of space. Post-loop.
Okay, good. So what I'm going to have, okay. So I want you to think about how you are your everyday. I don't know what to call this, like your default. How you are just as you're going about your day. Doing grocery shopping or whatever. We're just going to call this sort of your, I don't know, your regular being, for lack of a better word.
Daily routine.
Yeah, your regularness. And Tuesday when we talked about worship, we talked about the direction of worship is God coming to us, right? In a Lutheran understanding, but actually in most understandings, right? This isn't us coming to God and saying, oh, God, whatever. This is God coming to us in all sorts of things, in word, in sacrament, in reading, in all of these things. The direction of worship is that God makes God's self known to us. God pours into us in worship, and then God sends us into the world, right? So the direction of worship is really like this. It's not like this. It's like this. So if you were to think about, it's not a spiritual high, but a sense of God's gift in your life, or kind of a narrowing of God's, which feels like God's nearness. I'm going to call this God's gift as another level. And then the nodding off, as you said. So nodding off is down here. Okay, so what I want us to do is I'm going to invite you to come up. There's lots of different colors. And I want you to map your experience in worship, right? So if you come in, sorry, so I have stuff in the mic. So this isn't me, but I might come in and say, oh, you know what, in chit-chat, I experienced this as God's gift. And announcements, starting to nod off. Oh, prelude, I'm kind of in the middle. Call to worship, I'm going down. confessional going really down, hymn going way up, I love music, prayer. Anyway, so where you experience gift, I want you to mark that. Where is sort of your regular, you're there, but you're not super engaged, but you're not unengaged, you're there, you're present. And then the places where you're likely to not experience this as gift or regular, you're making your grocery list, right? Or you're nodding off, or you're thinking about that person next to you. You are not with sort of the rhythm. All right, you get what I'm asking you to do?
Yes.
Not everyone has to do it.
You have a big enough board for me.
Well, yours just might be all the way to the top, and that's fair. And yours might be all the way, a straight line across the bottom, and that is also fair. But give us a little nuance. So come up here, grab a color. There are five colors. And walk us, we're just going to have everyone do it, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
I want to say one thing. We have a pastor now that the order of worship is never the same.
That's true.
A month ago, we did it backwards.
Interesting.
We did that. So, I don't know how to chart this. What I mean, it's...
I'm a mental health professional. This is called...
Creativity and not a Friday night
personality disorder of some kind.
So let me say this other thing. If you are a pastor,
split,
and you regularly help lead worship, you might also pay attention to, because you know when people are asleep, and you can tell when people are engaged. So it's harder for pastors to sort of gauge their own. But tell us from your congregation, where is the interest really actually high? Where are people experiencing this as gift? And where are people not generally with you, right? And I know it's hard. Like, sermon, well, it depends on sermon, right? But generally, is this the piece that you're looking forward to? If so, mark it high. If it's not, mark it low. Okay, so, you guys get what I'm asking you to do?
Are we doing lines?
So
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just lines like this. Or like this. Or like this.
Yeah.
But come on up. We're all going to do it at the same time. Just walk right after each other. So walk us through. We can do five-ish at a time. Five colors.
I'll follow. Okay. I'll start.
A minister with a ministry of creativity.
Love the people.
From the scriptures.
Put our name right
where we're
going to put our name next.
Dovetails,
yeah.
So there's no flow to it. There's no start and stop and go get a beer thing. And like I say, when it's not in the same order, you don't have to sit there.
It
stand
makes,
now
no,
I see here.
Well, plus it keeps
sorry,
you awake. It keeps you awake. You have to follow.
We did that at a Senate assembly a few years ago intentionally,
yeah,
as a, you know, be aware.
But
of...
If you've been a musician or in the choir, you're sitting up there, well, not
yeah,
a good teacher.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But most churches, the choirs, so you get to read that congregation.
Oh yeah.
Or you're the congregation. The minister can see that, but the congregation doesn't see the interaction, reaction that's going on.
No, they explained why they did it with the assembly, that it was intentionally disruptive, because you see things differently when you're out of your
But it made sense.
Too much dairy.
And so basically, we have a high crafted blended service.
You're a cream person.
And that takes work. Yeah. A straight every Sunday plug in. I was an organist for years. So there's ministers that only need a 10 page hymn.
Yeah.
And then you have a minister that uses 340 pages.
It has.
No, we're going to go over there.
Yeah. For some group.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't.
But the thing is,
the poster, that's when you're shining.
There's no poster.
It's a well-written church. You walk in the door. I don't want to say you're Armstrong.
But
you know,
they
know you're there.
Yeah.
So we're doing an exercise.
Can I put
an exercise? I worship.
I'm not
a
church musician.
It's
not.
Well, see, we're in the congregation except for
No, I'm not.
unless I'm
taking
a crazy family.
That's it. We need a pastor right now to talk to everybody. For years ago, the community was different. And
come down during service.
You worked with those people, or you saw them work, or you did this. Now that you have all these people that you don't even know, and then when you start having a relationship, you go to that person, you know, or whatever. And that's the difference of how we move from.
So anybody else want to go?
We talk about this. I got to know what her in terms of what the interpretation of intimacy is.
Can we put an anthem in here?
The Mark Monopurple line up there then too.
That's because you have to come.
Mostly
yeah.
I'm engaged.
Yeah, right. You gotta have a short attention span.
Catching up to you.
I'm passing.
Well, no, not.
There you go. There you go. But decision making is always a challenge.
I was telling Ben, I was in a church, because ministers, you know, worry about going over. There was this gentleman that kept track of the time that it went over. It went over a minute or five. When he got up to an hour's worth of time over service, he didn't come to church that Sunday, because he'd been there for, because all the times he went over.
Okay, so, let's look at this. This is fun. What do you notice? We're all over the place, of course, but where do you notice lines are starting to converge? What is this group telling us?
I'm noticing right away that I'm not the only one that the passing of the peace that causes me a lot. Now it's different for me than a lot of other people, but I have to sometimes walk out because it's too anxiety provoking, and it's everybody has to shake hands with everybody, and they're just buzzing around like a whole bunch of bees, and my anxiety goes up, and I'm having a coughing fit and going to the bathroom.
Interesting. So look, we have quite a few who drop.
Right.
So look at the sermon.
Right.
The sermon is pretty high. No pressure. Pastors. But look, everyone goes up or at least higher than regular at the sermon. But after that, we start to dip, right? But look, everyone goes back up for the Eucharist. Right, and so where do we not see low space? At
Eucharist?
At sermon?
Sort of the hymn almost.
Sort of the hymn right here. We got someone plummeting.
Yeah.
So around music, it looks like?
Sort of,
depending. It looks like it depends on where the song is. But
depends
like here,
if it's a repetition.
Yeah, we've got a lot of folks coming up here around the hymn. We've got really high around chit-chat, right? People like chit-chatting. People come to worship. I was leading a workshop years ago, and someone said, why don't young adults come to church anymore? And I said, well, why do you go to church? And they said, well, because our friends are there. And I said, well, but why do you go to worship? And they said, well, because our friends are there. And I said, you don't go for Eucharist, for the sense of God with you, and they said, no, we go because our friends are there. That's where we played in the volleyball league when we were in Luther League, and all of our friends are there. I thought, oh, how interesting. Anyway, so chit-chat.
So they're not there because their friends aren't there.
What's that?
They're not there then because their friends aren't there. Like young adults
are
not
there.
Yeah,
right, exactly. It's an easy thing to follow. Yeah. So chit-chat is high. Sermon is high. Children's sermon is high, mostly.
Yes.
We got someone coming way back up. And Eucharist is high.
Because you never know what's
going to
happen.
Where do we see a lot of lower space? Where do we see some plummeting?
The commercials?
What is that?
Well, we're all have so much visual. A TV program goes 7 minutes, you have a commercial.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
each one
minutes.
Of these is you go to the refrigerator, you get a beer, you come back, you start up again.
Funny. Mm-hmm. All right, so which ones sort of converge around some low energy or just some regular energy?
There's only one line that did not go down during the announcements.
Announcements, interesting. So people don't love the announcements. You're kind of high because of the chit-chat, isn't it? You kind of go to regular or maybe low for announcements. Okay, what else?
Call to worship isn't very high.
Yeah, people aren't sort of interested. Well, not that they're not interested. This isn't an experience of grace, right? Okay, what else?
Some downward trends or greeting and prayer.
Yeah, lots of folks going down here.
Sort of the more repetitious, traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not what seemed to be as maybe engaging.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, there's just a huge range on all of them. Like the Kyrian, there's someone all the way at the bottom, there's a few all the way at the top.
Yeah,
same thing
with
the Creed.
We've got a lot of folks coming up for the prayers, and a lot of folks going down for the prayers.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So this is sort of a mix also.
Yeah.
A lot of folks sort of starting to come up for the peace, but definitely coming up for Eucharist. Okay, good. Why is this significant?
Because everybody comes at a different level.
Well, everyone comes at a different level, except for certain areas, right? We see some consistency in certain areas. Yeah.
Worship different.
Yeah. Why are the highs important and why are the lows important? Remember, we're calling the highs experiences of God's presence with you, God's grace. If worship is the coming of God to you, this is what people say is the experience of God coming to them. We have chit-chat, children's sermon, the sermon, it's kind of the peace, definitely the Eucharist, for most folks. Why is that significant? Is it significant? These aren't loaded questions. Is it significant?
Or you don't put it all at the same time, you spread it. Different learning style. Learning styles.
I'm thinking that during our prayer time, which is in a different place for us, but that's a very interactive, and it is not God coming this way. Mm. It is us going up and talking to God as a congregation. Mm. And so I'm not a professional, but I would think that you would want to interact within the service where, you know, your readings, you're getting the message from God. You know that he's there then and he's teaching you. The sermon is kind of a two-way street because you're trying to take what God is telling you and applying it to your world and how you can make that word. So you're going back up. I think it needs to be a two-way street throughout the service. I mean, we do that during the day on a day-to-day basis. You're talking to God or God's sending you a message and saying, knock it off, you know. But I think that worship, if it's too much God coming this way, that's like being in school. You know? You don't care what I think.
You don't have to react.
You don't care what I think. You don't care how I feel about it. You're just telling me this is what you need to know.
Interesting.
Oh, that's fun.
Go ahead, Christy.
Yeah. I don't experience it that way. I experience it as God comes down to meet us in love. Not as this is what I'm teaching you, but like this is where I'm experiencing God. And so in worship, we're experiencing God. It's not, and so we're meeting God. So it's not as if we're not involved, but
the direction is
that God is coming to us.
It's a very Lutheran. And this is the very Lutheran part of.
And I have that's one piece I've missed.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, I've never been there.
And part of our Lutheran approach is we can do nothing to meet God. God is always coming to us. So worship is sort of the ultimate God coming to us in lots of ways.
Just trying to see what the similarities are between the circled ones and
experience.
It has a little bit like. Could be a social aspect, but not really, because the sermon is not a social aspect, and really neither is communion.
Mm-hmm. But to God, there's no end or beginning.
Well, I'm talking about between people.
But it's engagement. Like, there's more engagement, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, chit-chat, you're very engaged, you're singing during a hymn, you're listening, and expectantly during the children's sermon, and hopefully the sermon too, because I'm a pastor, and then you're really engaged in Eucharist.
Well,
right?
To be honest, I think that our sample here is a little sermon-centered,
sure.
So it's not really a true, you know, cross-section of the congregation,
right?
And but also, then I wonder if this is really just charting how if it's an engagement, like how engaged do you feel rather than, I don't know, it's based on feelings rather than really God's gift. Equating how you're feeling to how close you feel or how close you are to God, which I don't think is in any way.
Right.
With any kind of gift, though, it's You don't see it as a gift unless you're looking. Mm-hmm.
But we know that nodding off during a worship service is not a gift, right? So it's not all about emotion, but it is about engagement, right? Engagement, it's not the emotional high we're looking for, but it's the sense of, are you here, right? Is this meaningful to you?
Yeah. It depends if you receive a gift and then you take it home and open it.
Sure, yeah.
So I took a picture thinking this would be a great exercise to do with the worship committee. But I'm quite sure that their next step would be, so we need to get everybody living at the God's gift line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Through the next service. Step. Yes. And I think that's dangerous somehow.
Yes, so that is great. This is how we're moving on to our next step. Thank you for that. So what I want to talk with you about is a form of worship that we use about once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks. We call it the journey. And it is it's not original to us. You maybe have seen this. I mentioned it to Todd, and you've seen it done really well at a conference. And so what it is an intentional breaking apart of the liturgy. Hold on. Hear the anxiety.
An intentional
rising. It's an intentional breaking apart of the liturgy for the sake of deepening your experience with it. And so the way we do this is lots of ways, but one of the ways we do it that students respond to well is through stations. And so we might, which is what we're going to do in a little bit. We're going to go try this out in a minute. And so what we have set up today is 6 stations that you can journey between. You can stay at one for the whole time, or you can go to all 6. But there are different parts of the liturgy, and it's sort of a concentrated approach to that part of the liturgy. Let me tell you 2 examples of how we do this before I tell you about what we're about to do. So one of the ways that we have done this is we had a refugee night in our ministry last year. So we invited several people who had involvement in the refugee crisis, who had been in refugee camps, to come and speak to us as a panel. And then afterwards, we had a traveling worship, a journey. And so students could come in. We had this big open space. In the middle, we were doing this in the narthex. In the middle was life jackets, right? This is right when all the news stories around people drowning were really big in the news. So we have just life jackets as visuals. You could come in, and there was a prayer station on the side. There was a station to engage with scripture around refugees. There was a letter-writing station to write to your representative, or we found an organization that encourages people to write letters to children who are refugees and who are newly arriving, so you could write a letter to a child. There's a video about the refugee crisis that the people on the panel had brought, and then there's a Eucharist station. So students could come in and they could say, I want to spend a lot of time in letter writing. Service feels like the right response. Or they could say, we had a song station too, or singing feels like the place to linger when we're talking about this sort of pain. Or they could say, you know what? All of these make sense to me. So I'm going to go here, 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 here. And that's what most did. They spent about an equal amount of time lingering in a liturgical place, sort of at their own pace, before coming for Eucharist. And they would sort of come up with groups for Eucharist and then be sent. It was a really effective way to ask people to sort of linger around a theme and to take these places that were really meaningful and say, then stay here for a little bit, right? Another one we did is we did a spring break pilgrimage to Houston around racism, racism, faith, and the Eucharist. And so the students came back and set up a traveling worship, a journey around their trip. And what they did is they set up the space as a big circle. So they asked people to sit in a circle. And the circle represented the 610 loop in Houston. I don't know if you know Houston, but Houston has 3 loops, 610 loop, the Beltway, and then 99. Houston's a massive city. So the 610 loop is really the inner loop. We spent a lot of time around the inner loop, and so we learned a lot about neighborhoods and how the city had come to be, and that Freedman's Town was actually known as now known as Midtown. So Midtown is the cute and trendy place to be in Houston, but it used to be Freedman's Town. It was built by slaves, and this history had sort of been lost. So students each took a neighborhood, and they situated it around the circle, and then. Between song and prayer, they each stood up to speak about the experience of that neighborhood and how that related to faith. So they would speak about this experience, we would pray together, and then a song would transition us to the next one. So that's 2 examples of how this works. One is a little more individualistic, right? And so you journey through this quietly at your own pace,
And you come to Eucharist when you are ready. The second one is the communal way to do the journey. You journey through this as a community. The critique of the first one, obviously, is that we don't worship individually. Like we are a church that worships communally. And the critique of the second one is that, but wait, I wanted to hear a little bit more about this particular thing, right? So that's two potential ways to use this liturgy. It works well around the theme. And I had originally thought we might do a theme of the environment. Holden's paying attention to environmental issues, so we might do our own traveling worship around the environment here. But I didn't know you guys. And so this is a form of worship that works well once you know people, because you need to know where people's energy sort of is. So what I have designed, with the help of my husband Tom, is a... it's kind of a more general approach to the journey for you to sort of get a taste of it. So when we go into the VC, you'll see that there are six stations set up around the room. I'm going to ask for your help with one of the stations. In one corner, and let's see, okay, look. Here's the VC. Here's where you come in. The pews are sort of like this. Right, here's the pulpit. Here's the table. So when you come in right here, there is a guided meditation station. We're all going to start in the middle together, but let me tell you what's going on. It's a guided meditation station. So the scripture that we're playing with today is the story of Jesus, of the man on the mat being lowered down through the roof to Jesus. So the guided meditation station asks you to put yourself into this story. Up here we have a candle lighting prayer station. Light a candle, you can sit, there are mats on the floor, or if you'd rather sit on a bench, it's facing the right way. Just sit in prayer, however long and for whatever you would like. Right here on the table, we have what's called an experiential table. So we're doing an experiential table of Psalm 23 that Tom designed. So the hope is that as you move, you touch everything on the table and it tells you the psalm. So this is really helpful to do with something that people know well. People know Psalm 23 for the most part. They can say it in their head often as they're going, but it's also written out, right? Yeah, it's also written out so that you are guided through the psalm as you touch things. I'll get to that in a second. Over here is the blessing station, and it's you writing the final blessing. So you'll see a big piece of paper that just says, may God, dot, 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 and then small little pink pieces of paper where you fill that in, and then you stick it up there, and that's how we'll end. We'll end by reading the blessings. Up here, Todd is leading us in a singing station, and so Todd, it'll be around the piano. There's some chairs set up around the piano, so Todd will just lead us in song. And then the last one, the one that you guys are going to revolt against.
Just breathe.
It's our confession and forgiveness station with a remembrance of baptism. For me, confession and forgiveness is as low as you can go. It's fast. There's no time for reflection. I hear the same words every week. I'd like to stop and think about what that means in my life for the last week or what that means in our communal life. And we don't, you know, it says a pause and it's 2 seconds. You know, when I'm leading worship, it's 2 seconds and we move on. Our students have said, we want to linger here, right? The brokenness in us, the brokenness in the world, we want worship to answer that. So we want to linger here. And so when we do this, the confession and forgiveness station is the station they go to for a while. You guys don't know each other, and so it's a big thing to ask you to do this. But what we can do, we're going to hit time in a minute. What we can do is you write out a question that would guide you in reflecting on the world, right, or reflecting on yourself. So I have three written in there. For example, in the liturgy, what we've done and what we've left undone. So one of the questions might be, what have we left undone? And then another question might be, where do you feel broken? Where does the world feel broken right now? And then underneath it, there is sort of words of assurance that speak to that piece. So how you would do this station is I'm not sure that we would have time. I would have students write out a question and write out a blessing that corresponds to it and stick it in the middle. And then as people come to that station, they can pick a question and sit down with someone and discuss that question together. You don't have to bear the depths of your soul. That's where I think you'll revolt against me. On Tuesday, they're like, that was really vulnerable. We don't even know each other. And so I hear that critique. But talk about that question a little bit. And then you'll see we've moved the font right into the middle of this living room section. So once you've both spoken for a minute, reach your fingers in and say the blessing and make the sign of the cross on the person next to you and say the blessing that's at the bottom of the paper. There are three right now to choose from. That's probably enough. But if you want to come up with your own question, you want to come up with your own blessing, that's fair too. We'll start, like I said, we'll start in the middle together on these pews. Once we're in the space, I'll tell you briefly, just so that you're oriented. We'll start with a prayer, and then we will probably have about 20, 25 minutes to move between them at your own pace. You might also walk the pews as a labyrinth, if that is interesting to you. Let the pews sort of be a labyrinth between stations, or just walk it as a labyrinth. If you're like, hey, this is too much, sing. Go sing with Todd for half an hour. We'd love it. But challenge yourself to at least stop by each station and to linger in a few of them. All right. Afterwards, we can talk about how this applies to a congregation. This is a hard one to do in a traditional space, but if you have a narthex, you might consider taking an experiential table and putting it in the narthex for that Sunday, right? So come in, touch the text before you go into worship, or how might you rewrite your confession with a little more space and more pointed questions, or how might a guided meditation sent out during the week prepare people for worship, right? So there's lots of ways to break these apart or to just do them all together. Okay, sounds good?
Yeah.
Okay, so we will head over there and just sit in the middle, grab and eat. Todd, do they need an ELW for the singing session?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
I picked out four kind of chant-like Tizay hymns.
Great.
And we'll do each of them three times and then move on to the next one.
Okay.
Instead of repeating that. So we need five or six ELWs over there by the piano. They don't. Everyone doesn't need one all the time.
Okay.
Why don't I just move them over there?
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So come to the middle, we'll start with prayer, we'll have some time, and then we'll end together and we'll talk about it a little bit.